From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Nightfall in the Egyptian capital is giving way to fresh battles in Cairo's main square. Molotov cocktails are being hurled between pro- and anti-government protesters, fighting over the fate of President Hosni Mubarak, who is under mounting pressure to resign immediately. Reporting from Tahrir Square, NPR's Eric Westervelt reports the health ministry is reporting at least one death and several hundred injuries.
Pro- and anti-Mubarak factions crouched behind trees and cars and used pieces of metal taken from construction sites as shields as they attacked each other for hours with rocks, glass, bricks, and gasoline bombs. At one point, a few government supporters charged into Tahrir Square riding horses and camels before being repelled by protesters who for more than a week have called on President Mubarak to resign. Demonstrators accused the Mubarak regime of paying supporters to attack them. The violence marked a clear shift in the Egyptian military's stance. Previously, the army had been seen largely as supportive of the demonstrators, but besides firing the occasional warning shot in the air, the army did nothing to halt the violence or separate the sides. As night fell, the factions were still facing off at nearly every entrance to Tahrir Square. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Cairo.
The U.S. Embassy says a mandatory evacuation of all non-essential personnel and their families is underway. Earlier, officials said they expected more than 1,000 Americans would leave Egypt on special charter flights during the next 2 days. A storm that spans some 30 states and affects a third of the U.S. population brought parts of the Midwest to a virtual standstill today. Chicago is among the cities bearing the brunt. NPR's Cheryl Corley joins us from Chicago, where she says the city's bracing for the next tough phase of the storm.
Yeah, slightly more than 20 inches of snow and blustery winter winds put this winter storm in the record books for Chicago, behind blizzards of 1967 and 1999. It's meant a lot of cancellations, closed businesses, the shutdown of Chicago public schools for the first time in 12 years because of the weather, and virtually putting all flights out of business at Chicago's O'Hare, where there were about 2,000 cancellations. Next up, as this blizzard moves east, though, a deep freeze in the making. The National Weather Service says temperatures overnight could drop to 5 to 20 degrees with wind chill factors of 30 below.
And quickly, Cheryl, the storm also complicating voting in a high-profile mayoral race?
Absolutely. We're in the midst of a mayoral campaign. All the early voting sites are closed today. Mm-hmm. President Obama's former chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, former U.S. Senator Carol Mosley Braun are two of the candidates running for the job.
Thanks, Cheryl. NPR Cheryl Corley reporting from Chicago. At last check on Wall Street, the Dow is up 2 at 12,042. This is NPR. Researchers say for-profit hospice companies specialize in patients who are cheaper to care for. NPR's Richard Knox says that leaves non-profit hospices with more expensive patients.
Profit-making hospices have multiplied in recent years. Boston researchers found they're much less likely than nonprofit hospices to take care of patients dying of cancer. Dr. Melissa Wachterman of Harvard says that's no accident. Cancer patients are expensive to care for.
Hospices are paid by Medicare a flat daily rate to take care of a patient, regardless of their care needs. So if hospices can attract patients with less intense care needs, they may be able to make more money.
Wachterman led a study in this week's Journal of the American Medical Association. It shows that for-profit hospices are much more likely to care for patients with dementia who have less intense care needs. So it's not surprising that for-profit hospices make a good profit, while nonprofits generally lose money. Richard Knox, NPR News.
A powerful cyclone tore through northeastern Australia today, site of destructive floods in recent months. Forecasters were expecting large and destructive core to cross the coast in northern Queensland state with winds that were expected to reach up to 186 miles per hour. Australian authorities were bracing for injuries and significant damage. Punxsutawney Phil's predicting an early end to a punishing winter in the U.S. before a crowd of thousands at the 125th annual event in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Handlers hoisted the groundhog up and revealed that the rodent known as Phil did not see his shadow. That apparently happened only 15 other times since 1887. This is NPR.